Well, I guess we better go to Romans for a little while. The great 17th verse of the first chapter of Romans, which you just never can say enough about, because it just stands as a great fulcrum in the book of Romans, and everything swings on it. But after the great fulcrum, we get to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. After I said that great fulcrum of 17, where it says revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith, there are two great truths in there that make the springboard for this 18th verse, namely, revealed from faith to faith, the essence of the believing of Jesus Christ, and then we who are justified by what Jesus Christ did for us, we accept that and we live by believing. So you have the believing of Jesus Christ and those of us born again, the justified living by believing. Here in the 18th verse of this first chapter, we begin to unfold in the Word the utter depravity and the need of both Gentiles and Jews for the righteousness of God. Romans 1, 18 to 32 deals with the Gentiles. Romans 2, 1 to 29 deals with the Jews. And then Romans 3, 1 to 20, both Jew and Gentile are covered again, touched on. In verse 17, for therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God. And in verse 18, for, again, for what? For therein, in the gospel, in the revelation of the word of God, you have also the wrath of God. Two things are revealed in the word. One is the righteousness of God, the other is the wrath of God. And the word for wrath is the Greek word orge, O-R-G-E, long E. Could be transliterated into an English word very interestingly, can't it? Orgy or something. It is interesting that death, for instance, or man's death, or judgment of man are not spoken of in the light of the wrath of God. And that the wrath of God, even though Adam blew it, really blew it, it never speaks of Adam in the sense of the wrath of God being on Adam. Nor does it ever speak of the wrath of God on anyone who is born again of the second Adam. Never. In John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This is one of the usages of the wrath of God. Another usage is in Ephesians chapter 5. Let no man, verse 6, deceive you with vain words, empty words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of unbelief, disobedience, unbelief. Its fourth and final usage in the word is in Colossians chapter 3, that's wrath of God. Chapter 3, verse 6. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of unbelief or disobedience. See, on the one hand, you have the righteousness of God, and on the other, you have the wrath of God. Both of those are declared in the word of God. In Exodus chapter 4, it says in verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. Numbers 11:33. Wrath of the Lord was kindled against. Who was it kindled against? Okay. See, the Lord's wrath. Wrath of the Lord turned from him. And that's the word that's used throughout here. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, I imagine it says in Proverbs 19:12. Lord rooted them out in wrath. Great is the wrath of the Lord. There are a number of different Hebrew words used here, which you would have to study out very carefully. When you work this wrath or anger of the Lord down, you will find out it's always due to uncleanness on the part of individuals or groups and basically stemming from idolatry. That's what tees God off. First commandment, I am the Lord thy God, brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, thou shalt have no other what? Gods. And the wrath or the anger of the Lord is basically kindled against men who are unclean. And it stems then also from idolatry. Idolatry is to worship anything or anyone ahead of one true God. We have its usage here in 1:18. Of the word wrath, its next usage is in chapter 2 of Romans, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. And it's interesting to compare this wrath with the revelation of Thessalonians that we taught. Verse 8 of chapter 2. But unto them that are contentious, headstrong, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. In chapter 3, verse 5, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? Chapter 4, verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. And in 5, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. This wrath of God is when a man becomes unclean, idolatry, when he serves anything else but the true God. It's always this wrath of God. Jesus Christ comes to establish the new kingdom. Remember, when he comes back in Thessalonians to reestablish it, wherein there's righteousness and true holiness, and he turns it over to the Father that he is the only one to be worshipped. And when you tie this righteousness of God in line with the wrath of God and you understand it, then you see that the wrath of God is just because people will not accept the righteousness of God and believe to follow what he accomplished and what he did. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven, and that deals with that 2 Thessalonians of the return of Christ. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And the word men here is that word anthropos, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word hold is hold down, but I think there's even a much more wonderful word that communicates, at least to my mind, and that is the word suppress. The wrath of God is revealed against men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. To suppress it is to indicate that you know it, but you deliberately act contrary. That's why they hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And then verse 19 gives a reason, because, and verse 21 again has because. One right after the other. Watch this develop now. They suppress the truth. Verse 19, why? Because that which is known of God, the may is known of God, is manifest or shown to them, for God showed it unto them. They suppress the truth because that which is known of God is showed or manifest to them, was shown to them. The word showed and manifest in that verse are same Greek words. Was shown to them, for God manifest or showed it unto them. They suppress the truth. They know the truth, but they do what with it? Hold it down. They suppress it. And that is because they do not worship the true God. And by not worshiping the true God, they suppress the truth which God has shown to them. And verse 20 explains this further. For the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, may be arrived at, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. His eternal power and Godhead. This is the verse they use for the Trinity. The Godhead, three in one head. His eternal power and Godhead. We just told us in verse 19, because that which is known of God, God showed it to them. They deliberately suppress the truth, which is unrighteousness. He's not talking about Jesus Christ. He's not talking about Holy Spirit. He's talking about doing this to the head, God. Godhead is basically nothing more or less than the true God, head God. There are two gods, one the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the other the God of this world. And in the commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me, is only one God, one true God. And that's what this verse is talking about. Both in the verse 19 and 18, and then right back in verse 21. It's not talking about three gods. It's talking about the one true God. Whenever you have the three gods, you have exactly the beginning of the problems that are manifested here in writing in the book of Romans in these chapters all the way through 3:20. They suppress the truth, and then the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And as you suppress the truth, then other things come in that get worse and worse and worse, as we will see when we work the rest of this chapter in Romans. Verse 21, again, because they're without excuse, they are without excuse, verse 20, because that when they knew God, when they knew God's righteousness, the truth of God, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. It's praised Him not as God. The literal working of this, they worshiped Him not as God, the true God. And when you do not worship Him as the true God, you're no longer going to be thankful. Neither were thankful. But became vain. Vain is perhaps in the essence of real conceit. They suppress the truth to the end that they believe that they're right, and they'll be so bold about their error, which you and I know is error from the truth of God's word, but they do not believe it's error. They believe it's true. Become vain in their reasonings. Imaginations is reasonings. They no longer can add 2 + 2 and come up with 4. They become vain in their reasonings. And then their foolish heart, they don't think it's foolish, but God's word says it's a foolish heart. Their foolish heart, because they suppress the truth, what happened to their heart? Got darkened. Do they think it got darkened? No, to them it's bright sunshine, light. And these are the ones who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, which is just the opposite of the righteousness of God. They profess themselves in verse 22 to be what? Wise. And you will certainly see this so vividly in our day and in our time, in our culture. Leading educators, leading philosophers, leading theologians who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, they profess themselves to be wise. They are the so-called smart ones. They're the ones who sit in the seats of teachers and share their so-called wisdom with their students. And the Word of God says they profess themselves to be wise. They really become what? Fools. The only basis on which you can judge the righteousness of God or the wrath of God is in the light of the Word of God. There is no other basis on which anybody could make a right decision. This is why, if we do not have the accurate knowledge of God's Word, we're never going to have a solid foundation or basis upon which to make a proper decision or a right decision. And the righteousness of God, that great foundational verse 17, sets that whole truth of the greatness of that revelation. And then in verse 18 and following, it begins to develop this wrath of God as it relates itself to Gentiles, Jews, Jews and Gentiles. But when you get to chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by pistis, we have peace with God, the word wrath no longer appears. Because, as I told you, once you tap into the truth of the greatness of God's word, that the word wrath is never used of Adam or anyone who is in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. So as we go through the book of Romans, you will see how wonderfully God has taken care of men who do not suppress the truth. What you have been in the past, he doesn't bring up, doesn't have to. It's very simple. Every man is dead in trespasses and what? So if you're dead, you're dead. Can you get deader than dead? Get stinkier, but not deader, right? This is why he never brings that up. Doesn't have to, because there are no stages of sin. In other words, one sin is no worse than another. If you're dead, you're what? So if a man's dead because he has 10,000 or a man has 100,000, he's still what? Dead. So that is how the foundation here is laid, of the wrath of God, showing this in contrast with the righteousness of God. And it begins stating the truth that these people knew God, they knew the truths of God, but they deliberately suppressed it. It wasn't anything but a planned suppression of that great truth. So professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And the next time we get into these sessions, we'll see how big a fool they really become. So, and again, I'd like to just reiterate that basically this wrath or anger of the Lord deals with uncleanness, which is primarily idolatry. Because if you're going to serve the body more than the true God, it has to be idolatry.